Do you think there is any way to escape responsibility for what you do with Jesus Christ? Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? These were the words spoken by Pilate at that fateful day when he sat in judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As we study the record of that trial, our attention is readily focused upon this man who had to make the decision as to what to do with Jesus of Nazareth. Our study today in the Gospel of John is in the 18th chapter, and we're going to look only at these few verses, verses 37 to 40, because they will bring to our mind and bring into focus this man that has the responsibility, Pontius Pilate, an amazing example in the Bible of a modern businessman who does not want to be involved in any religious argument. That's the best way I know to describe him. When we think about what kind of a man he was, you know, of course, that he was governor. Well, being governor in those days in the Empire of Rome was quite an achievement, quite an accomplishment. It would mean not only that he was a politically minded man, and that he had been appointed to this, but there was in it an element of competition, an element of personal achievement. Any man who would secure this office would be a man who had in some way proven himself as able and as desirable to the government at home. And this was Pontius Pilate. I think of him, as I've just now described him, as an American businessman who is wanting to get along in the world and advance his cause and to add to his holdings, become more and more effective in his business as he would go along. A man that's not specially opposed to religion. A man not specially opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who just largely just wants to be left alone. And now we're going to see in this incident we're looking at that Pilate had the experience that so many of us have when we find out that you cannot leave Jesus Christ alone. When God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, it was very much as though he had reached out his hand to shake hands with me. Well, if a man meets me on the street, and standing right in front of me holds out his hand, puts out his hand to shake hands with me, he is challenging me to respond. Even if I don't take his hand, I've already made a decision. Even if I just ignore his hand, I have already made the decision, and it has all the meaning that that has. I rejected his offer, because the offer was directed to me. And this is the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came that he might win men to God. And his call was, "Come unto me." And he comes personally, presents it before me, looks me right in the eye, and asks me to come unto him. Now, if I come or I don't come, that's a personal response to him. And so it was with Pilate. He had to personally deal with the issue that involved Jesus Christ, whether he wanted to or not. Now, let us look at these few verses and see something here, and then I want to comment upon Pilate himself. In chapter 18 of the Gospel of John, just verses 37 to 40. We read, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king." Now I understand this is a Greek idiom that implies very much what we mean in our country when we say, "You said it." That kind of thing. Just the way you put it, that's the way it is. "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, and that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now we're going to find out that whatever is meant by truth is not brought out clearly here. And oftentimes in the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would leave a word like this, which would intrigue you to come closer to him. And frankly, it amounts to this. The people who come closer can find out. The people who don't come closer will never know. That's exactly the way in which it is. And again in the New Testament, there are words spoken which even a child can hear and get a sort of a general idea about. If you want to know more, you come closer. If you don't come closer, you won't know any more. You won't know anything. And that's the way it was here. He said that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" That wasn't a new question with Pilate. That's an old, old question. Philosophers ask it all over the world. As soon as you hear the word truth, right away somebody says, well, what do you mean by truth? And there never is a final and complete answer for that. I think the Lord Jesus could have given it if he had wanted to. He didn't want to. And by that very act, he gives me an idea. And he gives me a clue. We don't spread everything out to everybody. There's just absolutely no use of telling a person what to do who's not going to do it anyway. And the Lord Jesus wouldn't do it. And here is a case in point. He could have spoken, but he didn't. When Pilate said this and got no answer, and in one of the other Gospels we find out that when he asked him what is truth, it says that Jesus answered him never a word. And when he had thus said, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. If you were to go over the four stories of the crucifixion and just underscore each time you find this phrase from Pilate, you'd be surprised. How many times in the short record that we have this repeated over and over again that Pilate gives his plain word, his plain testimony, I find in him no fault at all. And now in verse 39, you can see how Pilate is trying to get out of his problem. You have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And when he had said that, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. And I think that's put in there for you just to realize the extreme contrast that there was here, and the fact that in making their choice, they were not choosing according to the merits of these men. They were choosing in their blindness and their prejudice, and in other Gospels, we are told that the chief priests and the scribes had aroused the people and urged them to ask for the Lord Jesus, to ask for Barabbas to be released so that the Lord Jesus would be executed. So this is the incident, and we find Pilate trying to get out of the final responsibility of dealing with this man, but he couldn't. And now let us look at Pilate himself for a few moments while we're considering this, because there is a sense in which where you see Pilate standing here in this place or sitting on this throne of judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a sense in which you can see anybody, just anybody on earth, facing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will make a decision very much that has a significance, very much like Pilate. So let me go over the things that we know about Pilate. In the first place, I want to draw a comment. There is no evidence of any animosity against Jesus. So far as we know, he had nothing against him. As a matter of fact, when you read the records, it would seem as if Pilate was trying, if possible, to get Jesus of Nazareth out of this predicament. He had no personal animosity against the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second place, you will see that Pilate was primarily interested in his own personal advance. I can imagine in our day and time that would be considered as his private business. It would be considered a perfectly legitimate interest. And you can realize that he did pretty well at it because he had become a governor. And being a governor was no mere specialized political job in those days. It was a business, and men got rich at it. It was something to work for, to have a position of political power. And his primary interest was to go just as high as he could in the political ranks, as it were, in the empire. And he had gotten this far that he was governor. You will know that he wanted to go further. And this was a primary interest of his. And when it boils down to this, as far as you and I are concerned, he was interested in his own personal advantage. The third thing I want to point out is that, so nearly as we can tell, from reading along in all of the incidents, the records of this incident as it happened, that Pilate apparently wanted to avoid doing wrong. So far as we can tell, he did not want to do this thing which he knew was not the way it looked. He understood that the Jews had delivered him up because of their envy, and he tried the best he knew how to get the Lord Jesus free by working it one way or another. He wanted to avoid doing wrong. And when I'm saying that, I hope that you don't think I'm specially praising him. I'm only recognizing it, because that desire on his part to want to avoid doing wrong, you know, was invalidated, amounted to nothing, because he did do wrong before it was over. But I just want you to know, this was not his choice. I think it would be a fair thing to say that if Pilate could have had his way about it, he never in the wide world would have had this thing brought to his attention. He tried to get out of it any way he could. makes me think of a man who doesn't want to tell you he exactly is against the church, but he just doesn't want you to talk about it. He doesn't want to say he's against the preacher, but he just doesn't want you to ask him to come to church. He doesn't want to say that he is against being a Christian, but he does not want you to ask him to accept Jesus Christ. He just wants to get out of it. He just says, in effect, I've got my business, leave me alone. I'm not bothering you, don't bother me. And Pilate had this sort of an attitude. But what I want to point out to you, that didn't help Pilate any. He was confronted by the Lord Jesus. God in providence allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be brought right before him and set down right before Pilate, and Pilate had personally to make a decision about this thing. He wanted to evade responsibility. He didn't want to be responsible for condemning Christ, but he was. And by the way, while you're thinking about that, you will remember he was warned by his wife, the one who would have more interest in him than anybody else, warning him not to do anything against that good man. And so we find Pilate facing this, and now I want to draw your attention to this for us all. When Pilate decided what he would do with Jesus Christ, he really decided what was going to be done with him. It looks as though he was judging Jesus Christ. What he didn't know was that he was condemning himself. When he said that he would condemn Jesus Christ by the pressure of the population and the people all round about him, and he yielded him over to be crucified, Pilate wrote his own ticket out right then and there. This is a sober warning to us all. And may God help us to face the issue about Jesus Christ honestly and squarely. Our God and Heavenly Father, help any man or any woman to face the truth of Jesus Christ with honesty and sincerity. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.